I was thinking as I was listening to the part of the eulogy for Marcy's mom, Dot, yesterday, and thinking of all the, you know, the how proper she was, and the yes sirs, yes ma'ams, and thank yous. And I thought, you know, sometimes it just does this in our so very contemporary and casual society. Sometimes we forget the very common graces of life. And how much of a travesty to forget to just thank God. Lord, thank you. I know I said it just a minute ago, but thank you. And thank you, and thank you, and thank you, Lord. Your blessings. And it reminds us that we really have little to complain about when we begin to think of the blessings and the goodness of God. So anyhow, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your blessings. Lord, we can see needs, we can see things to as we mentioned earlier, Lord, we can sometimes see handwriting on the wall that just give cause for concern. But God, what we really are looking at are the many, many blessings that you have and continue to provide and to make prevalent in our lives. So, Lord, we want to be faithful to give you thanks and to give you glory and to give you honor and to give you the praise that you deserve. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Engage you this morning. At least that's my goal, is to engage. Just I've got a kind of a end of summer. Isn't that exciting to kind of cool this morning? So yeah, we kind of lament the end of August anyhow. We won't quite say it's the end of summer. We've got another month of September, but I want to just kind of take advantage of the holiday weekend and ask a couple of questions. Want us to chew on one and one specific question, but to preface, here's a question: how important is hope? So okay, good. I got a couple other questions, but before we move on, let me just read a couple of scriptures to confirm. These are just a few. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing or a dream fulfilled, it's a tree of life." Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And then Paul, just the right out of the chute, the first couple of verses of Titus, I didn't give this one to you, Mike. Paul, it says, "A servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness." A faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, by the way, promised before the beginning of time. So hope, that's huge. Next question: how important is faith? That's the only verse I grabbed from Hebrews 11 that, yeah. I mean, that pretty much says it. Which brings me to the third question. How important is love?
It's the greatest.
1 Corinthians 13:13. "And now these three remain: faith, hope." You know, having just spent a few days earlier this week just a few miles from the South Sister, otherwise known as Charity. I don't know if you know, but those three mountains were, I don't know if I should say originally, but before they were referred to as the Three Sisters, they were from the north: faith, hope, and charity. And are still somewhat referred to. They've, in fact, the town used to be Three Sisters. They dropped the three it's sisters, but it's kind of there in the thick of those three. All three peaks over 10,000. They're the third, fourth, and fifth. This is more than you. It sounds like we're going back to school, doesn't it? But a fan of the Cascades. Third, fourth, and fifth highest peaks in Oregon. And starting in the highest of the three would be Charity. And then the north, and then the middle. Or Hope. But I wanted us to talk about about love this morning in a very practical, pragmatic way. How many of you enjoyed the service last Sunday at the park? Yeah, was that just a great time or what? Wasn't that well done? For those of you that weren't there, we did a paraphrase, the seven pastors. Almost sounds like out of Ephesians, huh? The seven churches. The Philomath is kind of a very spiritual town, don't you think? but we did the paraphrase of the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, and incorporated some of the people from the churches as well to help really in a very powerful but poignant way of communicating just the importance of love. And so I've been thinking about, I was extremely challenged, by the way, even though it's one of those as familiar sections of Scripture as there is in all of the Word, to the point that sometimes those familiar tend to lose some of its punch and its power if we're not careful, because we just, the love chapter. Love is patient, love is kind. And we remember that, the greatest, faith, that these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Yes, yes, yes. And everybody said amen, and we move on. But, if love is the measuring stick, if love is not just a great thing, but it is the basis from which really we'll be judged. I mean, you read 1 John, and wow, am I really saved? I mean, sometimes I read that and I'm just pierced. And that's the way I was feeling a little bit Sunday, is that there needs to be some changes, some improvement, and really a real emphasis, so that love is really a priority in my life. That I there are things I work hard at, and I'm not so sure. In fact, I was thinking I don't work hard enough at love. And love is hard work. I mean, when you read definitions, like I'll say that I just officiated a wedding the day before, just last weekend, on Saturday, and I spend a lot of time talking about love and the definition that love is saying you're sorry, or saying I'm sorry is what I say, and will you forgive me? And in fact, then I want to say, in fact, that's the proof of your love, to be able to admit, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? And I was thinking that, I actually want to read the text here in a moment, but and I do want it to be a dialogue, but just sharing some of the things that have just challenged me. I was reading Reader's Digest, and someone, I can't remember who it was that quoted this, said, trust is the proof of love. And I thought, okay. And I suppose, I don't want to discount the importance of that, but I thought, forgiveness is really the proof of love. And grace is the proof of love, and patience. I mean, the descriptions that we're going to read, really each one of them is a proof, an evidence of love, and that those things need to be demonstrated and repeated over and over. And when I say repeated, I don't mean verbally, but repeated in lifestyle, in our actions, because it's one thing to say something, it's another thing to demonstrate it. So let me read this. In fact, before I read the 13th chapter, let me read the other. This has been referred to as the other John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. And then, of course, Galatians 5, verse 6 says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. That's a short verse, but it just, the only thing that counts. It really simplifies. I mean, it just boils it right down to the basic. In Colossians, I'll actually refer to this again in a few moments, but Colossians 3, you know, talks about clothing ourselves with humility and kindness and gentleness and a bunch of those things. But above all, Paul says, put on the garment of love, or put on love, the greatest of all virtues. Now let's read. I'm going to use the New American Standard Version. We used a very paraphrased version last Sunday, but let's read it out of the New American Standard. And I want you to read it with me. I want you to follow the words and let them speak again to you. So if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. And if I give all my possessions, I mean, all these things, I mean, to have the kind of faith that does great miracles and give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned but do not have love, profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. By the way, when I say patient, one definition, the capacity to be wronged and not retaliate. You know, the King James, I can't recall without recently, I think, is long suffering. So it's that idea of long suffering. One of the definitions, love is costly, but love gladly makes sacrifices. It sounds much better in a wedding. Everybody's all dressed up and there's nothing, everything's clean, there's nothing messy. Oh yeah, that sounds great. I'd gladly sacrifice but then when it gets into the thick of it, love, you know, tends to be dropped or be forgotten, diminished. So love is long suffering. It's patient, gladly makes sacrifices, is not jealous. Let me finish that one. Is not jealous, does not brag, is not arrogant. You know, all those, I was going to let you talk a little. But all of those have to do with just, you know, the self, It's because self gets in the way. Why am I jealous? What about me? Brag, look at me. It's all about me. Love is just the opposite. See, and that's really, it is. And that's really the essence. The reason why we get so ticked and we get so offended or we get so anxious or we get so worried or we get so bothered or we get, it's like we can't see beyond the present. And especially if there's an offense, we just want justice right now, but we aren't able to see that what we're dealing with is a very temporary, a very temporal thing, and that the eternal we're able to see beyond, able to see the important, that which lasts. Good word, Thomas. Yeah. See, that's the love, gladly making sacrifices. See, it's a two-sided coin, isn't it? See, it's not just what I made reference to earlier about love forgives, or no, love says, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? So it admits, but love also forgives. So it's forgive those who trespass against me, but also help me to forgive, forgive me, but also help me to be forgiving, is the way that goes. And yourself as well. What does the scripture in Matthew 25 say? I mean, was what came to mind when you were sharing, Jim, about, it's where, Lord, when did I, or, when didn't I, or when did I, what's the question? Visit you, or help you, or love you. It's when I gave a drink of water, when I visited someone in jail, or and so on. And this, the bottom line was, Jesus was saying there, is when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. Or when you didn't do it, you didn't do it to me. And so the idea is to embrace not just the lovable, not just those that love us back, but even those who have done us great harm and great offense, to love them. That there's another proof of love. By the way, that's the title of this morning's message. The proof is not in the pudding. The proof is in the love. Because the scripture says, how do they know that we're Christians? By our ability to love the lovely, the lovable. Isn't God good at doing stuff like that? So we'll finish reading the text here. But if nothing else, I mean, we tend to hold up religion. I mean, we talk about, it's not about religion, but there's still that part of us that wants to hold up religion, and that thing that wants to make certain things more important than they really are. And not to minimize that some things like faith, like hope, there are certain things that are really important. It's just that above even those important things is, at the very tip top, is love. There's nothing more important than the way we treat each other. I can be the best worshiper and the most exuberant and the most the greatest evangelist and some things that are pretty impressive, not just in our own mind, but in the according to Scripture. But if love is not present, if it's not happening, then it counts for nothing. And so that's what the Scripture's saying, is start with love. Let that be what's the most important, and the thing that is that we place the most emphasis in our lives. Even more important than football.
What?
Sorry. Michelle? And even though sometimes it's easy, and we say it's easy to love those that are family, those that sometimes, yeah, sometimes it's almost the opposite. Just because when I'm wounded, if TR wounds me, and somebody walks by down the street and just yells some vulgar thing at me, you know, but if TR yells something at me or says something, it may not even be vulgar. It could just be hurtful. Boy, it's going to be... You know, deeper is that wound, and harder to forgive is often, you know. So when other Christians, they're Christians and they treated me like that, you know, what's with that? And so it really, there is that, you know, that extra difficult, that extra dimension of difficulty, if you will. Shall we read some more? So love is patient, love is kind. Verse 5, love does not act unbecomingly. King James says unseemly. It does not seek itself. It's more of its self stuff. It doesn't seek its own. It's not provoked. Why am I provoked? Because I was bugged. It was about me. I'm more concerned about. In fact, some of the translations say, I think NIV says, it's not easily angered. Really, the word easily should be eliminated. It's not angered. It's not provoked. Not that it's not easily. Well, you keep pushing me and keep pushing me. You keep pushing me. I'm going to get provoked. But I'm not easily provoked. No, it should be, I'm not provoked. Wow. Is that possible? The answer? No. See, it comes back to the joy set before him. The kind of love we're talking about, by the way, is what? Yeah, agape. It's God's love. And so the only way, and I said this earlier, and I thought, you know, really it's in order for, you know, maybe it is that we have to have faith in God because God's their only source of love. And so we place our faith in God. God, I need, I choose you as Lord and Savior now. Fill me with the love that you have for me so that I can love others. Yes. Yes. Say that again, in fact. Say that. it's not self-generated.
Yeah.
And that picture of the tank, that's a...
So there's freedom in that.
Yeah. That's good stuff. That's exactly right. That we can... restore, because that was the intention from the very beginning, was that we would, that love would be not just the goal, but that we would love, that it wouldn't be about ourselves. It would be everything would be with the motive of love, but sin got in the way, self, And so it's like it's evidence of restoration, God loving through us. So that's So it does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. Well, that's a, does not take into account. There's a scripture, it says, love, well, I guess this is more of a paraphrase, hardly notices when it does it wrong. There's one in 1 Peter that says, love covers a multitude of sins, or love covers a multitude of offenses. Boy, if there's one thing I notice is when someone does it wrong, or when I'm offended. Is it possible? Is it possible that I could be offended and not be aware? Have you noticed people? Have you seen it? When didn't you see what he did to you? Yeah, but what he really meant was, or he's had a bad day. I mean, don't you, when you see people like that and you see something like that, you just go, wow, that guy needs help. Or what you really think is, you know, what makes that guy tick? Especially when, if you know Joe and you've seen it again and again and again. And then pretty soon, talk about an evangelism tool. You know, because people want to know what, where do you come from?
Yeah.
You know, what makes, what, where'd that love come from?
But on the other hand, you don't always know when you're offended. I mean,
that's true.
You may have been, but
yeah. That's true. So, oh, extremely. Right, and hardly noticing, and assuming, oh, they didn't mean it. That wasn't their intention. It wasn't personal. Nothing personal. Yeah, you've heard in other families, yes. It's saying that I'm not wearing my feelings on my shirt sleeve. You heard of that term? It's not, it's, I'm, they're not out there. Yeah, fix, you want to have, I heard Chuck Swindoll say, you want to have alligator skin and a soft heart. See, and that's, oh, now that's love. You know, thick skinned, but tender. So you recognize, you don't want to be always acting like you have to walk on eggshells, but you recognize if what you're getting ready to say or do might be offensive. But let me, Juliana, and then Mike. So say that word again. Let it go. Say that. Yes. Love is a choice. That's right. And we hold on to it. Yes. We just stay. Yes. That's stupid. Yes, we do. Yes. Sometimes they're longer than a moment. Speaking for myself. We're going to come back to that, and we're going to put a comma there because we're going to close. But before we do that, Mike, share what you're going to say, and then... Uh-huh. No, go ahead. We're hearing you. That's okay. I think it's we've caught it. So this is how I want us to conclude this morning. I think we've actually chewed on this very well and very. I so am grateful for the disclosure, you know, and the honesty and the sincerity, because otherwise, if we're just talking to hear ourselves talk, and well, this sounds good, and that sounds good, then we kind of fall prey to the very thing that we're trying to deal with. What I want us to say, I really sense that the Lord, when TR was sharing, it reminded me of my grandmother about 30 years ago, without trying to do the math, somewhere about 30 years ago, after 40 years of marriage to my grandfather, divorced him. Raised they were Christians. Their whole marriage was, they were Christians when they got married. And so it was a godly marriage, but she held on to offenses. And this is my perception, what was the root of the divorce, is she held on things that happened back when they were in middle school in their relationship, when they were young, and could tell them to me as though they happened yesterday. She never learned to let them go. And it wasn't that they were tripping offenses. It was significant. There were some significant offenses, but they needed to have been let go. There needed to have been forgiveness. I think if there's one thing that will trip us up and prevent us from loving is not being able to forgive and not letting things go. Sometimes it's the petty thing. It's the tripping things that trip us up and keep us from moving on and letting things go. And there's some other things, things that we can't get past. Talk to someone, and there may be some deeper things that need to be dealt with, but we've got to learn. In fact, say that with me. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. And it's we laugh and we sometimes trivialize, but we've just got to, as believers who have been forgiven, Lord, help us to let it go. Lord, thank you for letting it go with us, Lord, and not holding on to our offenses and to our failures and to our stupidity and rebellion, just all of that, Lord, that we're deeply ashamed of, and in some cases oblivious to. God, thank you for not treating us as we deserve. Lord, help us to not treat people as they deserve or as we think, as we put on airs and think as though we're able to judge. We can't. So forgive us for trying to, and help us, Lord, by the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that same Spirit that was able to be forgiving and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Lord, let that same Spirit dwell in us to say, repeat that with me, everyone, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Even if they do know what they do, Lord, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Lord, help us to see with eternal eyes and not with temporal eyes. Lord, help us master, but not to imply that we would ever fully, but Lord, help us to, with increasing measure, love like you love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Yeah. We did. Yeah. But that's okay. But we hardly noticed that you missed the. So you can, in fact, you can leave that. Yeah, you can leave that. So let's grab on people's hands. We just need to do that again. Lord, help us to love one another. And Lord, let your blessing, let there be an outpouring of your blessing on this people, each one of us, to love like we've never been able to love before. In Jesus' name. By your Spirit, Lord. Amen. I didn't get a hug from you this morning. You snuck right by me.
I was late.
That's okay. That's just as well. That's We went a little long and perfect. That was a